The Sahaba Ikram, they each had their own style and method. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created such unique characters in the Sahaba, and within them they each had their own unique characteristics, specialities and qualities and passion. And every Sahabi, every blessed companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to his passion, desire and quality, would do amal and practice on the deen. And from the different Sahaba, there were different characteristics, different styles in certain Sahaba, in certain companions. Some had generosity, sakhawat, and somebody had siddiqiyat, somebody had adal, justice, and somebody had strength in other fields and other practices. And every Sahabi had a speciality and a quality that excelled. But one shauk, you can say, or one passion, desire was such, which was common amongst all of the companions. And if they did not have this passion and this deep-rooted desire, then they would not be Sahaba. They would not have been a Sahabi, each of them. And this Allah Ta'ala created within them when they were born. It was within their hearts already. Allah Ta'ala had put it, ingrained it into their hearts, this quality, this characteristic. And every companion, whether it was a male or female, every Sahabi or Sahabiya, they were immersed in this passion and this desire. And what was that passion and that desire? What was that quality that was inherent within all of the Sahaba? That was the ziyara, the sight, the looking at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every Sahabi, every companion had deep-rooted desire and love and passion for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you cannot see any example that can compare to this in the world from then until now, or even before that. And Allah Ta'ala created them in this way, that they had a very strong attachment and link and connection to the Mahbub of Allah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the Sahaba, they were to become the examples for us until the Day of Judgment. Their practice, their methods, their knowledge, their ulum, all of what we have today is due to the Sahaba Ikram, due to the blessed companions. So the basic thing that Allah Ta'ala gave to them, doesn't matter who they were, where they were, and where they came from, etc. But it was common. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that every companion of mine is like a star. And whichever star you follow, you will be guided. You will be guided. So every companion, every sahabi was on the uruj, the pinnacle, the peak of this quality. That whatever came from their statement was from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I just speak away from the topic according to my enjoyment. This was the home. This was the home, the family. That's what I understand. I'm not worthy. But the Sahaba Ikram was like a family, a total family, a household. Like in a family, you have some arguments, little bit up and little bit downs. But the vibrations of the differences of opinions would not reach to outside the home. And the people outside the home were not allowed to enter into the home. And the Sahaba Ikram were like a family. And their muamalats, their situations, their discussions, their circumstances were within the home. And the people exterior, they did not have the permission to throw the stone at the house or to criticize or to speak about them, because they were a family. And their anger was not anger. Their disputes were not disputes. They were like a family. They loved each other. They had deep love for each other. Every Sahabi for us Muslims after them, the nations after them, for the Ummah, every Sahabi companion is the crown on the head. And every Sahabi is a shining light and guidance for us every second. However that light comes, whichever way it comes, from Hanafi, from Maliki, from Shafi'i, from Hanbali, they are the light, they are the guidance, and we will bow our heads. We have no issue with whatever they did, whatever they said. So Allah Ta'ala created a qawm, a generation of great personalities. The Sahaba Ikram, they came to this world to teach us, to spread the teachings and the practice and the love of Rasulullah to us. Because this was their basic quality that was inherent within all of the Sahaba, that they all, each and every one of them, had deep-rooted passion, love, muhabbat for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how they learnt. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was their darul ulum. He was their knowledge. He was their Quran. He was their sitting. He was their pastime. He was their hobby. Everything worked around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They would reach to that majlis, and they knew they had attained everything in the universe. One sitting, if one person who had believed saw the praise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the blessed face, for 1 second with iman, he was a sahabi. That was the definition. That was the requirement. So we're talking now the gathering around the haram. It was the Hajj time. And one person, one individual, he was standing on a high up altitude position. High up position. He shrieked out. He screamed out. He shouted out. He shouted out. He announced. And he started to say, "Oh people, oh people, oh people of the world. Do you hear me?" Is standing outside the Haram Sharif. "I'm speaking to you, I'm addressing you, pay attention, listen, look, who am I?" And the whole world stopped, looked, that on this earth, the crust of the earth, apart from me, there is no individual who has seen the Prophet Muhammad. And who was that? Abu Tufayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was the last living Sahabi. The last of the Sahabi. 100 years he stayed alive after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is 110 Hijri. And in 11 Hijri, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away from this earth. So 100 years after that, he stayed alive after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was the final Sahabi who was alive on this earth. And he shouted out, and this was the generation of the Tabi'een. The Tabi'een. When he shouted out, people who heard, he said, "Oh, this was his love, his muhabbat." Listen carefully to what he said. Listen carefully. So he said, "Listen to me, I'm a companion, I'm the final companion. 100 years have passed." Ula Tabin, they were looking, they were amazed, they ran towards him, towards the announcement, towards the call. Let's look, there's a Sahabi here, there's a Sahabi here, there's a companion here. And there was a clamor, there was noise, there was excitement. And people wanted to see, and the Sahabi was standing there. And they were waiting. What will he say? What will he discuss with us? What will he share with us? What questions will come? Which answers will come? Great moment, momentous time, and a Sahabi to be there, and a Tabi'in to be there, present. And especially, if you just think for a few moments, Hajj time. And everyone had come to do Hajj. So the first thing that comes into the mind of the people who were there probably, because it's the time of Hajj and a Sahabi is there. So the best opportunity, let's ask him, how did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam do tawaf? How did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam drink Zamzam water? How did he go and do this action? How did he spend the night in Muzdalifah? How did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam do the practices and the rituals in Arafat? And all the questions, they run through the minds. And they would definitely have thought that, oh, this is the best time, and he's got the ilm, he's the sahabi. Let's ask him all the questions. The masail fajj, what better opportunity than this? And the words that come from the sahabi, there will be dalil for us, proof. Is this not what happens? Of course, a person, everyone has a passion, a desire. We want ilm, we want knowledge, we want to know about Rasulullah. And even now at Hajj, there's an alim, a scholar, and people run to the scholar. And what does he do? He doesn't teach Quran there, does he? They say, "Tell us, Hazrat, is this a wajib for me? Do I have to do this practice? Or is this a sin? Or have I left out the practice of Hajj?" So they were all tabi'in, the people who come for Hajj. Oh, subhanallah, what effort he made. One tabi, he didn't ask not one question. Although in our minds, these questions have arisen. And what question did that person ask? Or did those people ask to the sahabi? What was the question they asked? They asked one question. Ah, subhanallah. The Abu Tufail, radiallahu anhu, does just tell us that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what was his lifestyle? What was his character? Tabi'in, they were in love with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Aha, they could not see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they wanted to know how he looked. They wanted to know from the heart of Hazrat Abu Tufail, so that love and those embers and the passion and the desire could come into their heart. They wanted the transfer of the love of Abu Tufail to come into their heart. So Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu, he was a sahabi, a companion, and he'd seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many gatherings he must have sat down. Maybe he had narrated a hadith 100 years after he's living. He radiallahu anhu replied. That how did Rasulullah look, they asked. What was he like? How did he move? How did he speak? What did he say? What was his character? Aha, Abu Dufail radiallahu anhu. From his one statement, that is enough for us to learn the whole deen. Rasulullah was Jami al-Quran. That was his sift. Whenever anyone would ask a question to the Prophet, would come with a big question or a big masla, then within a few words, Rasulullah would answer that question and explain the whole deen. Subhanallah, what great ilm, what great knowledge. And there wouldn't be scholars who'd come, even a Bedouin would come. The Sahaba would say, we were waiting, we were silent, we had adab, we were waiting for the Bedouins to come because they were frank in their approach. So they could ask a question so we could hear the answer so we could learn the deen. Ah, how simple was Rasulullah. No showing off, no pride. One Bedouin came. Oh, Rasulullah, he grabbed hold of his shirt. Tell me, what practice shall I do? How can I be a good Muslim? I can't do all of these deeds. I can't do these deeds. I can't do these. Look at what Rasulullah, all the Sahaba listening. And he's happy and they're happy, the Sahaba in the heart. Ah, Alhamdulillah, the Bedouins come. We couldn't dare to ask questions like this. We'd be disrespectful. We could never ask like this in a frank manner, open manner. But the Bedouin, he has no frankness. He has no obstacles. And he has no be'adabi, no disrespect. He's not included because that's his way, his lifestyle, his mannerism, his culture. So Abu Tufail radiallahu anhu, when he was asked this question, he, within three words, statements, he answered the question. And three qualities he mentioned that explain, define the whole character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, Allahu Akbar, Aba Yad, Marihan, Maqsada. Three words in Arabic. And the whole of that assembly of the Tabin, they were so happy when they heard the answer. Malihan, Maqsada. He said this, Qana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh, my beloved master, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his appearance, his character, his practice, subhanallah. He was so beautiful, very light complexion he had. Very light complexion, his skin. Subhanallah. And that white skin, that light complexion, very light in tone, that nothing could compare to that. Then he said the next thing. Malihan. And, or but. But it wasn't that whiteness that we are used to or we think about. He had a very light tone, a very light complexion. And he said that within that light tone, there was the reddish. It was totally different. His tone was totally different and unique. And it became so beautiful. He was so beautiful. His husn was such that whichever eyes saw him, and they would never tire of looking at him continuously. And after that, they would never forget what they saw. Aha, malihan. This is the deep definition of just that one word. Maqsada. And then he sealed his reply in the last statement. Then he said that from his hair on his head, to the toes, to the nail on his toes, everything about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was balanced, beautiful, slender, not too extreme and not less or lower in quantity. Just like, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him the way he wanted. It seemed as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him exactly the way he wanted. If you look at his eyes, subhanallah. If you look at his complexion, subhanallah. If you looked at his cheeks, subhanallah. If you looked at his nose, subhanallah. If you looked at his blessed teeth, subhanallah. If you looked at his eyes, eyelashes, subhanallah. If you looked at his fingers, subhanallah. If you looked at his blessed legs and feet, subhanallah. If you looked at his blessed face, subhanallah. If you looked at his chest, subhanallah. If you looked behind his chest, then the seal of Nabuwa, subhanallah. You would be immersed in love and tears just by looking at the seal of Nabuwa. How Rasulullah was constructed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How created, and all of the tabi'in started to cry. They were so immersed in the love of Rasulullah at that moment. Imagine how much love they had. Abu Tufail is explaining, radiallahu anhu, and they're crying. And they said, he, radiallahu anhu, said that everything was balanced, so perfectly created. White complexion, Hazrat Muttalib, Abu Muttalib, when Rasulullah was young, 8 years old, 8 years of age, and he was the grandfather, Abdul Muttalib, and there was a drought. And the drought spread in Mecca, and it was severe kahat, and such a drought, water finished, dried up, animals perished, and crops perished, and total drought, dryness, and difficulty, and hunger and thirst, and people came running. And they said that you are from the son of Ismail. Please do dua, raise your hands to the Kaaba. They said to the Prophet Muhammad SAW, and he was silent. And when they started taking him, he said, wait, first let me bring my grandson. Let me bring my grandson. Abdul Muttalib was asked to do the dua, that please go to the Kaaba, you are from the Ismail's progeny. So he brought Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with him, Abdul Muttalib. He took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the haram, to the mataf, and he stood Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam up, and his face was towards him. And subhanAllah, because there were idols in the Kaaba. What logic? So the face was towards Hazrat Muttalib, and Abu Muttalib, he raised his hands. Abdul Muttalib, and he said, "Oh Malik, that this child who has a white complexion, who is so beautiful and haseen, because Rasulullah was so beautiful that his grandfather had so much love for him, so much extreme love, and you would have read this in Seerah, in history, he loved his grandson so much, so out of happiness, he'd say him that, oh you child of white complexion," that was his laqab he gave to him, he was famous for his white complexion, "Oh Allah, due to this white complexion of my grandson, oh Allah, oh Rabb, allow the rain to drop," and the hands just raised and the dua started, and the drops of the rain started to fall onto the land around Rasulullah, and Makkah had rainfall after such a long time. Beautiful face, beautiful complexion, balanced body, everything perfect, everything beautiful. Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, he was quite tall, and he was asked by somebody that, "Are you tall, or was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taller than you?" Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu was asked, and he gave a beautiful answer. He said, "The situation is such that my age is older. I'm a year older, but even then he's older than me. Even then he's older than me." In other words, about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that if there was 1,000 people around him and he was within them, then it would seem as if he was the tallest from everyone. Yes. So Hazrat Abbas said that although I am taller, but when he is there, it's like he is taller than me. He looks as if he is taller than me. This was the answer. And this was the Sahaba Ikram who had the love. They had a great passion. That after sitting down, the first thing they look at is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How is this looking? How is his body today? How is his clothes today? And everything today has been recorded and passed down to us. Look at anything. Everything has been written in such minute detail. Shamail-e-Tirmidhi. The Shamail of Rasulullah ﷺ is present there. And I will request that in the night you should read about the Prophet's complexion, his body, his physical features. Especially on Thursday night, you can get the books of Shamail about Rasulullah ﷺ's his body and his physical features. And there's a lot of barakah when you read this and you go to sleep. So there was such passion and enjoyment that the Tabi'in and the Sahabat. Once on the night of Hijrat, in the migration, the Prophet ﷺ was on the journey. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu was with him. And the night was about to fall. And obviously, this was a hard journey. Hunger, thirst, tired. They were tired. You will have read and heard about this journey. They traveled. And then they saw like a mud hut, a mud house. And in that mud house, it wasn't made of brick, it was just mud and thatch roof probably. And there was an old woman there, and they went there. Rasulullah ﷺ went there with Abu Bakr Siddiq, and they said, "Oh woman, we are hungry and we are thirsty. Can you serve us? Can you present something to us? If you have something, can you assist us?" And that woman, she was from the wilderness, countryside. First she looked, she was amazed when she saw the Prophet ﷺ looking at the face. Her face changed. She said, "Who is this? What moon has come to the earth today?" And we're talking about the beauty, so listen carefully what I'm saying. And recite the Durood Sharif while I'm talking and say Subhanallah. Because my taste today has gone towards the features of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, that I want to talk about this. So, when she saw the Prophet ﷺ, the woman from the countryside, "Well, Allah, but this man, his face is shining like the moon, and another moon next to him." Abu Bakr Siddiq was there. She said, "Where have these men come from? Where are they going? Where have they come from?" This time of the night, she was shocked. And so she first gathered herself together, then she asked that, "You have asked me a question, and the situation is such that we are very poor. We are very poor. We live in poverty, and by chance I am an Arab and I'm a woman. And Arabs, the culture is that we will give everything away for the sake of our guests. We won't leave anything turned unturned. And this is, but I is so sad that what can I do for you? I have nothing in my house to give to you. There's a little child here. That's it. My husband, he's left. He's a shepherd. He's gone to herd the sheep, the goats. I'm on my own. I have nothing at home." So she was sad. Very sad and broken hearted. "How can I serve you?" She didn't know who he was. وسلم, and then Rasulullah وسلم, he saw something from the corner of his eye. He saw a little goat. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that, "O woman, if you give permission, then can we take the milk from the udder of this goat?" Subhanallah, can we draw the milk from the goat? Now think here, that if she can give milk, then would the woman not have offered the milk from the goat? So obviously there was no milk in the goat. So Rasulullah said, "O woman, if you give permission, then can we take some milk from your goat?" Then the woman, she looked at the goat, and then looked at Rasulullah and said, "I have no problem with that. But which goat are you talking about? That I can only see that goat, that small goat there. And this goat's history? Oh Prophet, if this goat was okay, then my husband would have taken this goat. But he's not even able to walk. There's no strength in his bones. He's standing there. I don't know how he's standing. He's totally finished. No energy, Hazrat. He's not capable. You say milk. He's not capable of doing anything. And you want to take milk?" Rasulullah said, "Yes." She said, "I'm very happy. I'd be very happy if you can draw milk from this goat. It'd be a great happiness for me. And you have permission from me. Take it." Rasulullah gave the usher to Abu Bakr Siddiq. Ah, subhanallah. Great, great fortune of that goat. How lucky. Look at the scene. I take you to the scene now. Abu Bakr Siddiq brought the goat to who? Abu Bakr Siddiq grabbed hold of the goat, took hold of the goat, and Rasulullah called the goat, and that ill goat is coming to who? Aha, the master, and the fortunes changed for the goat. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq went to bring the goat, Rasulullah called the goat, and the goat totally, its physicality, its actions changed. It transformed. It went towards the fortune and its good fortune, and it reached to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then when it reached, it was happy. It knew what was happening, and the goat, it bowed, and then the hand of Rasulullah went onto the goat. The barakat hands, the blessed hands. Subhanallah. When Rasulullah's hands went onto his back, and then it's udder filled with the milk, totally filled to the brim. Its stomach came down to the ground and its body bowed. Aha. At that time nobody knew that this was the Rasul, but the goat recognized this is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aha, my fortunes have changed today. They've transcended. I'm Jannati. I've seen the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My fortunes have changed. I'm so lucky. I was a dead goat nearly. And there's a point, a nukta comes up, that this didn't happen to the goat. What is a goat? Rasulullah's habit was such that he would love the miskeen. He would always assist the people who are in poverty, hardships. He'd pick up the yatim, the orphans. He'd assist them. What is the goat? This is an example. His poverty, and the goat was ill. It was unable, but Rasulullah started to draw the milk. And where was the milk? Where did it stop? The narrator says that the milk had the foam on it. Beautiful milk, tasty milk. And then bring the containers. And the female who was there, that she, subhanAllah, said, "Hazrat, the milk, I've got no pots left in my house to fill the milk." And Rasulullah left it there, and everyone drank the milk to their fill. And after drinking the milk, Rasulullah did dua for her. And then they departed. Subhanallah, what a great... Aha, he embraced me and departed from me, and my life went from here to there. What a great poem. Rasulullah came and left, and she fell in love with that event and what had happened to her life. And everything around her, her mind, her body, everything was full of the emotion, and the goat who had noor, it started, everything, the house started to transform into good fortune, good days, and the woman, she changed. Maybe the iman, the strength of iman would have come to heart, because she knew that he was something special. And she was amazed and shocked that which personality came to my house? Who is this? Who came and who was with him? And he came and he did this and he left. And in that state, she was totally so happy. And after a while, Abu Mad, her husband came, Mad. And he saw that my house is totally changed. The color of the goat had changed. In the corner there was noor. And the faces are full of noor. And the child... his face has changed, his noor upon the household. And he was amazed and shocked. He left the goat. He said, "Umimad, what's happened here to our home? What's happened? Who came? What happened?" And she said, "Don't ask, come in. Let me tell you the story of what happened." She said, today such a great, fantastic event occurred. Such a great person, a traveler came. The child said, I will tell you. And she said, no, I'll tell you. And they're trying to outdo each other. Was he a man? Was he insan? Was he a personality? And they just said, what was his name? The man said, who was he? She said, oh, don't ask. I couldn't ask his name. I'm so shocked. I didn't ask, where are you coming from? Where are you going? And what is your ism and your Mubarak ism? And who are you? I just consider that what a great blessed personality, she said. And the child said, the blessed man came, father, blessed man. Because they didn't know the name. And then he fell in love. He said, is it? He saw and he'd seen the fortunes of change of his house. Then he thought, what? Allahu Akbar. He started to say, the husband said, that will he come again? She said, Allah knows, who knows? Will he come? You wait, we wait. He said, okay, this is which is, that I won't go now to herd the goats. That this mountain near to here, that I will herd my goats near to here. And when he comes back again, then you need to send the child and call me straight away. I will leave everything and come back. And this became his habit, that whenever he'd come back, I'm going to tell you the love now, my friends, the love. I'm telling you, ishq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is ishq, this is love, this is muhabbat. May Allah ta'ala allow the taste of this, the drop of this to come to heart. One drop, if it comes, our appearances will change. Our lifestyles will change, our habits will change. This is what we are lacking, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We act out dramas, we have many claims, but we say we are ashiks, but this is love that I'm about to tell you. So the husband, what did he say? He said, my wife, that whenever he would come home and she would present the food, he said, I want to eat after. First do this, that let me tell me about that blessed personality came. And then she, the child, and he would start speaking and talking about the eyes of Rasulullah, his beauty, his husn, his character, everything, they'd start talking. Then he'd ask one day, tell me, that how beautiful was he? What was his beauty? What were his features? And then Umar Ba'd said, that what can I tell you about his beauty? His face was so blessed. There was such deep, deep beauty that you couldn't stop. You couldn't just look at him and let your face fall on him. You had to look away. When he smiled, you couldn't look. Every single atom, every cell, every little piece of space, whatever there was there, it was beautiful. And he'd ask and the child would enjoy and the husband would enjoy. What she said at the end, Allahu Akbar. He was shaken by what he heard. Shaken. Aha, such a great jami', complete mufassireen. They said that she was a commentary of Rasulullah ﷺ, that there's no example or comparison about the greatness and the sight of Rasulullah ﷺ. What did she say? Listen carefully. She said, Abu Ma'd, that if I summarize to you, that he was such a beauty, that when you see him from far, he looks so beloved, so handsome. When he came close, he was even more handsome and more beautiful than that. Allahu Akbar. Such a great praise. Look at this. What is within this? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Husn has come and his seerah has come. His beauty has come and his seerah and his history has come in this hadith. Don't just look at the beauty. From far when you look at him, he looks so handsome. When he comes closer, he's more beautiful than that. More beautiful than that. So what happens is that some people, they look handsome and nice from far away. But in the dunya, when they come closer to you, then all of the defects, they come out. When you have relationships with people, when they're made, and when you shake hands and make the friendship, and then you see that subhanallah, that's the initial period, and that's the muhabbat, the love we have in our society today. But she gathered all of the seerah. He wasn't the drama. He wasn't just the outward external appearance. No. From far he was handsome, beautiful close up, and his beautiful character, his words, his personality, his conduct, his manners, they gripped us when he was there. That ashik, he cannot be a lover of Rasulullah who doesn't know and practice out the akhlaq of Rasulullah. If you don't know every part of his character, today we say we are ashiks, but we don't see the akhlaq. We don't even know the manners of Rasulullah. We don't even know that what did he leave to us? What did he give to us? We don't have no knowledge. We are immersed in the world, in our own occupations, in our lives, in our work. We don't know what Rasulullah brought and what did he leave with us. For what reason did Allah send him to this world? Every sahabi was an ashik. Every companion would give everything for the akhlaq of Rasulullah. So the Bedouin came, akhlaq. So when he asked, he didn't ask a small question. He was an ashik and she was an ashik of what she said. Umm Ba'd, she said, I tell you now, I saw him from far, he was handsome, very handsome, a lot of husn. When he came closer, he was so much more beautiful than that. Why? Because from far you could just see that he was handsome. He was like the moon. When the moon came closer, then he was the moon. And he had the seerat on top of that. His character, his mannerism, his complexion, his physical practice, his everything, his speaking, his movement. And this is the truth about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my friends, that we can see this today as well. Do you remember this? Do you remember this? One Bedouin came and he said, "Oh, who are you? Oh Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. Who are you? Anta Rasul? You are the Rasul? You are the Nabi? You are the one who calls yourself a prophet?" Huh? And he said that Rasulullah used to herd the goats in between the mountains. You herd goats? He wasn't poor, but he chose that path. Don't think he was poor. There was no one wealthier than Rasulullah. But Allah Ta'ala said that this is your mountain. You want to turn it to the gold? He could have had what he wanted. The walis of Allah are not poor. They choose the path of simplicity. Remember this. The walis of Allah don't think they're poor or poverty. They take hold of that path. They voluntary to the path. They are ill, but they do dua for others who are ill at that time. They don't want food, but do dua for people. If you go to them and do dua, you will get the food. Why don't you do dua for your own children? Why don't you do dua for yourself? Oh, his wife, she's so ill. His children are ill. And let's go to him and ask him to do dua. Hi, hi, hi. This is what they like. They enjoy it. The walis of Allah, they don't look at themselves or their own family or if they're suffering. Brothers, when Allah Ta'ala gives pain, you don't know how the walis of Allah, they enjoy those moments. Allah, at least you're giving something to me. You're giving me difficulty. You're paying attention to me, Allah. Everything that's coming from you, Allah, I accept. Whatever you give to me, pain, difficulty, hardships, darkness, I love it, Allah, because you're paying attention to me. Allah, you're paying attention to me. So the sahabi came. Aha, are you? You're Muhammad? And Rasulullah ﷺ was herding the goats. Ya Rasul, Anta Muhammad, you are the Rasul. I heard that you are generous. Rasulullah ﷺ was silent and smiling within his wrapped blanket. And he would have beauty and handsome. You could criticize him, say bad to him, but always a smile would come from Rasulullah ﷺ. Subhanallah. May we give all. Are you enjoying? Or shall I speak about another subject? Tell me the truth. Are you enjoying? Aha. Then I will tell you more. You will be amazed. So he, radiallahu anhu, started saying that, "Give me these goats. I want to take these goats." Rasulullah said, "Is it? How far will you go?" He said, "The mount these goats are wandering." He said, "All of these goats that you can see between these two mountains, they're yours. Take them with you." And he was amazed and shocked. The Bedouin, he was just asking. He said, "You've given everything to me between these two mountains in the valley." May look at the sakhawat, the generosity of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't look back, he didn't turn back on his decision. Take them all. And the Bedouin's taking the goats and he's going back to his tribe. Oh, he shouted out, "Oh, do you know where I've come from? Oh, I saw Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's so generous. Run, you get iman and you get the goats as well. You'll get everything." Ah, what a door of generosity and mercy. What a great Nabi. Even today, if you become his ghulam, his servants, you will get iman and you'll get rizq. You'll get belief and you'll get respect. Ah, but we've left that court, we've left that door, we are drum empty boxes, all mouth, every we go, mouth, mouth, mouth. Allah says drama will not succeed. Drama won't work. Ah, I remember a word, Uqbah bin Amir radiallahu anhu, an event. Uqbah bin Amir radiallahu anhu. And it's narrated in Ahmad Tabarani. These hadith I will show to you, present to you, narrate to you together, according to what the scholars have stated, and I will join them and explain them both collectively. Has Ahmad Tabarani hadith are narrated in both collections. And this hadith is great and beautiful. Listen to this hadith carefully, attentively. Your life will be made. The akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And see what happens. See what happens. So, somebody grabbed hold of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is what the Sahaba used to do. "Oh Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam," he held out nicely. Rasulullah sallam, he said, "Please tell me a great deed." He held a hand, the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallam. Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu, he's not asking, the whole Ummah is asking. This wasn't the hand of one Sahabi. Yes, physically it was, but who would ask? Who would put the hand? Who would ask the question? Who would put the answer into the heart? Our Rabb, our Khaliq, our Creator, one Sahabi. When the question would come from his mouth, then that question would come from the mouth of the Sahabi, and the answer would come from the blessed statement of Rasulullah, and the answer would be for all the Muslims of the world. Oh, Tablighi Bhai, he's come from Luton, someone's come from this city, and they're all collected in one place, in one city. Allah's mercy descends, they're sitting in the masjid, and he recites the hadith. The hadith has reached to those people. They left from their home, they didn't come empty-handed. He took courage. He went out, traveled in Allah's way, and sat in Jamaat, and Allah Ta'ala sent them home. Their laps were full of the deen. So it's not necessary that you will get something in every place wherever you go. Allah Ta'ala's deen, his fragrance spreads everywhere in the world. Great fragrance, great markets, great places to learn the deen, great events, great locations, great places you can go to. Allah Ta'ala says, my deen has a beautiful fragrance and it spreads in a beautiful way. A person, the Tablighi Jamaat brothers, they left their homes. They took their footsteps to the house of Allah. They sat, they spoke, and alhamdulillah, then they will see if they're steadfast on this path, what rewards will get. We were sitting here, but maybe due to them, this hadith has reached us today because they are travelers. They're here. Let's do dua that we can also leave our homes, go far, spend time in the house of Allah and in the path of Allah. I've seen a few brothers. I think there are some Tabligh brothers. Maybe they're not, but I just said this. I don't know if they are or not. Anyway, what happened? So he took the blessed hand of Rasulullah ﷺ, Uqba bin Amir, and said, he said that, O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, please do dua for me. Did he say, do dua for my shop, it's not running? Oh, my job is about to cease, I'm going to get sacked. Oh, my children, they're not getting admission to college. Do dua for me. Did he say this? Did he ask this? Look at the sahabi. Remember, there were more than 100,000 sahaba. And every sahabi would meet Rasulullah ﷺ, he'd say, oh, Rasulullah ﷺ, please tell me something to better my akhirah. Was this not their passion? And me? You? What would we ask? If I knew this wali here, oh, let's go to the wali. Let's make him do dua for us. Oh, do dua so we get tens of thousands. So my business runs. So customers come to my shop. So my children become rich. No. And that fakir, when he gets these duas time and time again, maybe he thinks, starts to think as well after a while. Or maybe I need to run out of the dunya as well. So whenever the walis of Allah, when they speak to their murid, they tell their murid that never think you're a peer or you're a sheikh. Like the Hazrat, when he sends his disciple to a locality, never consider yourself as a sheikh, as a teacher. People will come to you, they will listen to you, but consider yourself as dust. Never promote yourself and think you are worse than the dust on the feet of the people around you. Yes, subhanAllah. So when a sheikh, when a teacher is given ijazah and sent to a certain place to teach, then his teacher will tell him, never consider you a sheikh, don't think you're a peer, be humble servant, earn with your hands and feed the people with your own hands. And this is the work of the wali of Allah, the sheikh, subhanAllah. So what happened? The sahabi, he took the blessed hand of Rasulullah ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah ﷺ, please tell me a great deed, a great amal. Did he have nothing? Quran, salah, nafil, tahajjud, prostration, they had everything. So what's he asking for more now? Why is he asking for more? Subhanallah. So can you give me an answer? Why did he ask? What better deeds did they able to do for this? That we can go on Umrah, come back, go Umrah, come back, Hajj, come back. We do so many deeds, prayer, and we buy tickets and make preparations and go on the journey. Then we say we go to the house of Allah. Then we go Masjid Aisha. Then back. Then Umrah again. Then Tawaf. Then we drink Zamzam. We keep doing Amal. We keep on doing these actions. That's the best deed. Don't need anything more than this, do we? So which deed is he asking from Rasulullah SAW that because he wasn't satisfied before that? Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu. Is there any deed left that they didn't have? Give me an answer. Astaghfirullah. Was he mad? Sahabi? He was asking from Rasulullah ﷺ. He was asking because Rasulullah ﷺ was going to give. You always ask someone for something because you know someone's going to give something. But Rasulullah ﷺ could have turned around and said, I've given you Quran, Salah, Masjid, Prayer Mat. I've taught you Sajda, Ruku, Salah. Why are you asking more from me? But no, Rasulullah ﷺ did not say that. Ahmad Tabarani narrate this hadith. The hadith is found in both narrations. Rasulullah ﷺ turned and said, what have you asked from me, O Uqba bin Amr, for the ummah? Subhanallah, are we not happy that we're getting something? You, me, we're all in the ummah. What are we attaining? What is this great gift? This ni'mah. Listen, Rabbul Izzat, Allah is the one who made Uqba bin Amr ask the question. And Rasulullah ﷺ was given the answer. And he is asking that thing from Rasulullah ﷺ, due to which Allah said, I give respect to the humans, I elevate their status, I give them izzah, I elevate their rank, I increase their age, I increase their wealth, the whole world and the earth and what it contains in the akhirah, I improve it for them. Do you want this, brothers? Then put your hands up if you want it. Put your hands up. Otherwise you will go empty boxes back home. You will go empty arms. The person who raised his hands has to practice all this. Otherwise on the day of judgment, what will happen? You put your hands up, didn't you? Yes, mashallah. I won't give you hard things or things you won't like. My friends, everything I will say is within the boundary of deen. within the boundary of capability and practicality. I won't tell you something that's too hard for you, or you have to pray tahajjud, or read nafl all day long, or do this and that. Nothing hard. Wherever you came from, whatever you are, you will stay there, inshallah. Wherever you're stuck in the mud, you will stay there. I won't take you to inch forward or back. But I'll give you that advice, that if you practice on it, you will become human beings, brothers, human beings. That's what we need to become. What a great guarantee. What a great guarantee. Look, Allah is speaking. Rasulullah was asked by the Sahabi. Allah put the question into his heart. And Allah gave the answer via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aha. So today is the night of Jummah, brothers. I'm going to let it go a bit longer. Then we'll do dhikr after that. I'm going to let it go longer. Anyway, so. Such a great statement. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam turned and said, Uqba bin Amir, what is it you asked me? What? Look at the answer. Allah gives izzah. Allah will give rizq. Allah will give wealth, increased age, darajat, elevation of rank, and the hold of this world, your life and the akhirah, Allah will improve it for you. Aha. Then do you think he will stay as a human being? He will become the king of the kings when he follows this advice of Rasul. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi al-Kareem, the merciful Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated, O Aqba, you have asked a beautiful question, and the advice is simple. If you practice this, you'll get everything you'll ever need. I will tell you an ibadah, a worship, a deed, a habit. Now this ibadah that is being told us, we're being told something that we don't do. And this is an ibadah which is great away from the other acts of worship. And if we do this action, then this will suppress all other actions. This must be great. And a great, super, fantastic, brilliant action. I will come towards the hadith. We've frozen. Everyone, we stopped. I have to complete the hadith before I carry on. Yet this hadith has come in between. So brothers, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Uqba bin Amir, that you will attain everything you ever need. Do three things, three actions. Number one, if there's a broken relationship, then mend the broken relationship. Whoever breaks the relationships, go and mend them. And the person that loses something, give it back to him. And the person who excesses or oppresses, then forgive that person. You do these three actions, and my Rabb will give you everything in this world and whatever you need. You don't need wuzu for this. You don't need masjid for this. Do you need Kaaba for this? Do you need Baytullah for this? Do you need Hajj for this? Do you need Arafah for this? I swear by Allah, one thing you need, that your heart make it soft, tender, and nice. Aha! Great situation. Great situation. I think, and everyone's sitting, and I'm sitting with you in this assembly, and I say this with guarantee, we are all failed in this, including me. Don't say what I'm saying. Don't think what I'm saying. Don't take it badly. We are Sufi, the gathering. There are, mashallah, tablighi brothers here, pious brothers sitting here. But I have to say this openly, that despite all our efforts and our practice, we are weak, my brothers. We are weak, my friends. We have to accept we are weak. We go on chillas and we'll still do those sins. I'll do dhikr all day, all night, and I'll still do those sins. I will go in the company of my sheikh and I'll still commit those sins. Aha, let me think for a second. At least let me think that such an advice, that we don't have this. We don't have this practice. We're weak. And we don't want to move. We don't want to practice. And we're thirsty. We want success. And we don't try to attain this. Allahu Akbar. How sad. We don't even try to attain the solution. The solution to all problems. Oh, servants of Allah, can we not practice this, what we've just heard today? What a great worship. What a great worship. My whole life I may have prayed tahajjud, done ibadah, and done dhikr. And maybe they accepted in the book of Allah. Maybe I stood in front of Allah. Allah will decide on the day of judgment. He will look at my deeds and my worship. And there will be excuses, there will be problems, there will be rejection. Allah Ta'ala says, my court will be there. On the left, the one side, there will be a man who demands. And there will be another person who will have to give his deeds as a debt. Somebody will say to Allah, this person, he swore to me, he oppressed me, he backbited, he slandered. My salah will go, my hajj will go, my umrah will go, my tabligh will go, my dhikr will go, my enemy will take all of my deeds because I oppressed him, and I will go to hellfire. But akhlaq is such a great ibadah. If I am not serious about this, wallah, wallah, I swear by Allah, in whose hands is my life and your life, who made me Muslim. If on these three things, the whole Muslim world today practices on these advices, these three statements of Rasulullah, then from his blessed statement, this was uttered, and everything about Rasulullah, whatever he said, it cools the whole world, and it reforms the whole world, and improves the whole world. Every village, city, nation, there'd be no enmity in the world, there'd be no murder in the world, there'd be no disrespect of the name of the Muslim, the question would never arise. And every Muslim, he promises that from today, I will practice these three advices, these three ibadat, that whatever, wherever I see the broken relationship, I'll mend it. If he acts, wherever your relationships are broken, if someone breaks a relationship with you, mend it. Go back to him. Will there be enmity? Will there be beating? Will there be murder? Will there be fighting committees? Will the mosque get locked down? Will police come into the masjids? Will there be arguments? Will there be fazad? Will the houses break down? Will there be fighting and beatings, etc.? How can it be if somebody breaks the relationship with you and you mend it? How can that person be your enemy? We say, what is Islam? What is Islam? Tell me about Islam. Talks and conferences, come out of the masjids. Come out of the masjids is Islam. Islam should be in the world, in the streets, not inside the masjid, in the villages, in the towns, in the cities. Allah's Rasul said, demonstrate Islam in the world. There's different societies, cultures, countries, continents, and Islam should sparkle in front and in between and within every single one of them. Islam should reform the societies, the people. People, they will put their hands up. Are you a Muslim? Subhanallah, what a great human being you are. What is your deen? What is your practice? How honest you are. How great you are. You mend the broken relationships. You've got great character. You don't argue. The person who breaks with you, join it with him straight away. Can it ever be that he will be on me? I swear by Allah that in this situation, if someone breaks with you and you join, it's such a great action. Never break the promise. Never break the relationship. Solidify yourself. If the whole ummah does these three actions, the whole world will be improved as a beautiful place to live. And who told us, Umar Abad, radiallahu anhu, said that the beauty I saw when he came towards my house, he looked so handsome before. When he came closer, he was even more beautiful, not just in his looks, but his beautiful character. So is he not beautiful now when I've told you his character, his words? Do you understand now how beautiful he was when he was closer? And you will know he's beautiful and see this when you do amal on his deen, and on Rasulullah will tell us on the day of Ashar, my beloved Ummati, go to paradise, I've done shifa for you. But don't say, I can't do it, I don't have it within me, I'm too weak. Make yourself, straighten yourself, sit in good gatherings, go on tabligh, listen to good words, and sit with the walis of Allah, the pious people, the good Muslims. Allah's made places all over the world. Sit with the pious people, do dhikr, listen to good things, do good things, purify your heart, do tazkiyah of your heart, do dhikr of Allah, go to your shaykh, present yourself, clean yourself, do tazkiyah of yourself, and analyze yourself, your character, your qualities, your deficiencies. But we don't want to do nothing. We just grab hold of one thing. I'm good enough. I'm going to go to paradise. How can this be? How can this be? I've got to look in the mirror and look at my defects, and only that mirror will tell me when I'm honest and stand in front of it. And I have to stand in front of the mirror of hadith of Rasulullah's life, and I have to say in front of the mirror, if I die like this, how will I rise on the day of judgment? Do 5 minutes muraqabah. I've prayed so much, I've done so much ibadah, but what about what's inside me? Am I pure? Am I good? Oh brothers, rectify yourself. We need to consider ourselves as marid, as ill people. Fi qulubihim marada. Allah says, if you don't consider yourself as the ill people, Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, then this will stop you, this will prevent you. And due to this, we are in the situation we are today. Look at the situation. Is there any respect? Do we have any respect? Due to not practicing these three advices, we have no respect in the world today. We have no elevation of rank and status. We have no rizq. We have no wealth. We beg to people. Why? Why? Because we have left this ibadat, because we don't mend the broken relationships, and we don't forgive that zalim, the oppressor, and we don't have the akhlaq and the character, and these three things have come out of our hands, and Allah is displeased with us. Allah is displeased with us. Will we try or not? Mend the relationships, brothers, and before we do that, we have to mend our hearts, we have to clean our hearts, we have to work hard. The walis of Allah, they make us work hard from inside. Take out the envy, the jealousy, the hatred. And if we don't go to a teacher who is qualified and able and competent and capable of teaching us, then we can never improve ourselves if we don't take the advices. Now let's come back to that. If 10 minutes more, then inshallah we start the dhikr. Umaybad. When she explained the husn of Rasulullah to her husband, then he was even more in love. He hadn't seen Rasulullah, but he was so much in love. And then he said, when will we see him again? She said, you wait, my husband, and I will wait. Khair, one day came, the Umibad. She went with her child, and she went to buy some goods from the marketplace. And this is how Allah Ta'ala allows the meeting to place. She went to buy some goods. When she went to the shop she had to go, she couldn't get the goods. So she went further ahead, and she went out further ahead, and she reached to the bazaar of Medina. Allahu Akbar. And she reached to Rasulullah's vicinity. She went to the bazaar of Medina. What did she know? She didn't know the barakah of Rasulullah was here. She didn't know. And a child, he's there, and she's buying things, busy, occupied, looking at the things on the stools, moving goods. And what happened from one side? The Abu Bakr Siddiq, he passed by. Subhanallah. She was busy, and the child said, Mama, Mama, Mama. He ran, you know, like the child pats the mother, and she pushed him back. What are you doing? Is he asking for a sweet? He said, I'm me, Mama, Mama. Then she pushed him away, shoved him away again, the child. Why are you shouting? He grabbed her, Amma, Amma, hada baraka, mubarak, mubarak, hada, this is that man. And he was with him. And she looked back and said, what is it? This was that man who's walking past. Wallahi, I remember that man who came to our house. That blessed man who came, the beautiful man, he was with him. Subhanallah. We found him. And when the mother, she dropped all the goods, and they ran after him, both towards Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. This is the ashik, such an ashik. They didn't have iman. She didn't have iman. She had the love, the desire, the passion. Imagine that the tajalliyat, the jalwa at that time. So she ran after Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, both of them. And Abu Bakr Siddiq was a bit surprised. What is it? Who are you? How? Where from? And she said, Are you that person? He said, who? That you were on the journey and you came to my home. That blessed personality was with you, isn't it? Barbarakat, blessed personality, who? And the child came forward. He said, that the situation is this, Baba, you came to our house and that great human was with you, that blessed man who passed his hand over the back of our goat, his blessed hand he passed on to our goat, and he sold. Aha, he said, you are those people. Abu Bakr Siddiq recognized them. Oh, come, I'll take you to the Prophet of Allah. Subhanallah, that was their destiny, was changed. Their life was changed. Subhanallah. And they were walking behind Rasulullah. They approached there to him, to Masjid al-Nabwi. Abu Bakr Siddiq took them, Rasulullah sitting. And when they both reached there, then Rasulullah, how could he forget them? How? And could he ever forget the people who favored him? Their mosin? He didn't even need to ask. He didn't. Because he came with the favors to the ummah. He won't forget his ummah on the day of judgment. Have you not seen or heard? Shall he tell you that waqiyah? The event and the mizan, the scale of justice, a man like me, some person, poor man, naked, nothing you love, no deeds, and the mizan, the scale will be tipped towards the sins, and he'll be ordered, take him to Jahannam, and he'll look to one side. What's he looking here for? Go towards Jahannam. Is there anyone there to help us, save us? Then he's ready for hellfire. Okay, angels are going to drag him and throw him into the hellfire. Then a beautiful appearance person, beautiful, handsome, says, wait. And he's thinking there at that time. He sees power and beauty and handsomeness. And he takes a piece of paper and he says, put this piece of paper into the scale. When he puts that piece of paper, the whole scale tips the other way towards the good deeds. His fortunes change. He was going to go Jahannam, then he stops. And the man starts to cry. They grab him. The oh, beautiful, handsome man. Who are you that you've taken me to Jannah? He said, I'm your Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was your durood you recited in the world once. One durood. One durood, from morning till night we sleep, talk rubbish, lies, slander, fraud, jest. Oh, servant of Allah, we can't recite once durood to Rasulullah. How much time we passed in the life, we waste our time. How many seconds, how many hours, just have to waggle the tongue. We do business, run your shop, sit with your children, wherever you are. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This will be useful for us tomorrow. This will be wealth. Wallahi, nothing else will be of use. So he didn't forget at the sirat, at the mizan, and he said the durood. Tell me then, how would Rasulullah forget that woman and her son when they came? He sat them down and he gave them. So when I presented the deen, the path to Jannah, she recited shahada. And the child said, loud, ashadu Allah, ilaha illallah, wa ashadu anna. And then he gave them the gift of paradise and she went back. She'd filled her lap with the treasure and went back home. When she went home, her husband sitting there, what's happened? She said, I bought everything. She told her the story and he became Muslim as well. Allah Ta'ala may give us tawfiq. that we also get such ishq and love and great, great regard for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashik, if we go out, look how many ashiks and lovers there are in the world and what's happening in the world around us. And we'll be ashamed that this is ishq. This is ishq. We claim to be ashiks, lovers. There's a recognition of the ashik. There's a way to recognize a lover of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not hide. It's not hidden. It is not concealed. The fragrance isn't concealed and nor is love. Love is just like fragrance. When you put perfume on you, then the person next to you will smell your perfume. What is this fragrance you put on your shirt? What is it? Is it nice or is it too strong? If you put too much good a fragrance on, you won't put it on. You say, oh, no. Because when I go, then they'll tell me, I have to give them some as well. Then you have to take it out, the bottle out of your pocket and share it with people. So fragrance cannot be concealed, and nor can love. And love of Rasulullah, how can that be concealed? It will be zahir, and the zahir, he won't show it off. But it will be apparent because he will follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. His walking will be according to the sunnah. His sitting will be according to the sunnah. His sleeping like the sunnah. His eating in the way of the sunnah. You don't need fatwa, don't need mufti, don't need scholar, don't need dalils. You read hadith, Rasulullah did this once in his life, that's my life, that's it. Subhanallah. Once Rasulullah did this, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, great companions, walking, other companions, jamaat, congregation, he steps, turns back, comes back to the tree, rubs his body on the trunk, carries on. The sahaba said, what is this you're doing? You walked, came back, rubbed your body on the tree. He said, nothing special, why did you do this? He said, same place, Rasulullah walked past, his body rubbed on this tree, I wanted to imitate his practice, so I came back and rubbed my body on the tree. What a great, and we leave great sunnahs, guaranteed practices, hadith, and we're told to do the actions and great rewards, and we leave them. Will we not practice tomorrow's Jummah? But then we'll see who is the Ashik. The Rasulullah will say, ah, he loved me, he heard something's come in his heart. Then the angels will write, ah, had Ashik. They will write it at the door of the masjid. And then he'll know, why should I leave this sunnah? I'm in the house of Allah, I'm not outside working. Or if I'm working, Sharia gives allowance. Okay, that's fine. But who's stopping you? When you go outside, if there's a uniform at work, Sharia gives ijazah. But in the house of Allah, come in the appearance and attire of the Mahbub of Allah. Will we do this? Inshallah. Inshallah. Today the stamp will come on your document. Allah Ta'ala, I am not a talib ilm, I'm not a student, I'm jahil, I'm nothing. Do dua for me. And you are pious people all around me. You are mashallah good people. You go in the path of Allah. Do dua for me. Allah Ta'ala, give us all the solid ashik and love of Rasulullah. Ameen, ameen, ameen. Recite the Durood Sharif.